You're listening to Radio Rehab, the most informative substance abuse program on the airways. Your host is Lisa Seif, who's the director of the Ward County Court Substance Abuse Program. You can pick up the phone right now and give Lisa a call at 812-424-1400. Or if you're outside of Evansville, it's 1-888-846-7867. Radio Rehab. And now, here's Lisa Seif.
Good morning, everybody. What a beautiful day outside we are having. Welcome to Radio Rehab, where we try to bring you experts and guests that have had all kinds of experiences around substance abuse issues, mental health issues, etc., etc. You know, Mr. Landers and I have had a lot of talks about how to shape this show, Radio Rehab, and how to bring it to closer to your audience, closer to your living room, closer to what's going on in your life. And one of the things we've talked about that often is underrepresented in our community are the young people. And they have an incredible voice. They have expertise and experience that I think all of us adults need to listen to. So as a result of those conversations and just trying to shape Radio Rehab to best meet your needs, we decided to have youth come on every couple of months and tell us what it's like in their world. And I've learned a lot, and I know you will today from today's show. And I have to tell you this, whoever raised these two young girls deserves incredible bragging rights. These girls are unbelievable little girls. To me, they're little girls, but they're little young adults too. You know, the term adolescent wasn't even around until the 50s. Before the 50s, you were an adult or a young adult. So now we have this term called adolescence, and we've realized they are their own culture. And you know, in a lot of ways, they're a minority. And I think it's going to be an interesting show today to hear from these two experts that are going to come and talk to us about teenagers, and especially teenage girls, which are another minority, and oftentimes not as shortchanged today as in my day, but we need to listen to girls and we need to listen to boys. But today we're going to get to hear from these girls who are here from Castle High School area, Newburgh and Ward County, which is where I work. So we're all proud Ward County folks here today. And I met these girls at the Teen Power Camp, which I've been part of for over 20 years. Youth Resources has put this on because of, as we were just saying, the need for us to listen to young people, give them a chance to lead, and especially talk to them about drug and alcohol issues. So that's who we have today, Brooke and Jamia. They're going to share their stories. They're incredible. Hang on, listen. Don't hesitate to call 424-1400. Any questions from these girls? We've got these experts for an hour. Don't hesitate to call, share, give us your opinions, give us your insights. But they're here to answer any of your questions. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you all?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. You know, this is amazing for teenagers to be awake at 11:30 in the morning. I am impressed.
Yeah.
You all are up and ready to be here. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Where to start? Brooke, why don't you start first? Introduce yourself. Just tell us a little about you and what got you to this point in your life. And Jamia, we'll do the same with you and go from there.
All right. I'm Brooke. I'm a senior at Castle. I'm the president of Teen Power. When I entered into high school, my neighbor, she introduced me to Teen Power, and I was like, okay, yeah, that sounds fun. And so I went to the club, and I was just amazed and surprised that the kids were able to lead the club. And so that's kind of pretty much how I stayed in Teen Power. But then I realized that it's more than just being a leader, like, for a club. I mean, it's being a leader for all the other students, too. And then going to the Teen Power Camp, you know, I mean, getting to talk about drugs and alcohol and learn about everybody else's problems and just being there for them. And it's just a good boost and makes you feel good. So that's why I stay in it.
So most young people are going to stay in things that make them feel good.
Right.
That's interesting. So we need to remember that. It's about feeling good.
Yeah. And then just being there for others, you know, it's just a motivation that I have.
Right. Yeah. Good. Well, thank you. Mm-hmm. We'll come back to you.
Okay.
Jamia?
I'm Jamia. I'm treasurer of Teen Power. And I got started with Teen Power my freshman year. I heard a lot about it, and I heard it was a really fun club. And I also heard that it was for drug and alcohol-free kids. And I was like, that is so me. I mean, I've been this way ever since I was little. I just don't hang out with the people that drink and do drugs. I like to stay away from it. And I know that Teen Power, like, that's their biggest thing. We do community service, and we just find other ways to have fun without drinking and doing drugs. So
did you two, you know, we have a lot of people come on here that share about their use of drugs and alcohol. Mm-hmm. You two are sharing that you've never even had an interest in doing drugs or alcohol. Are you the majority in a high school or the minority in a high school?
We're probably more the minority. I believe that a lot of people are starting to get away from that. I mean, there are a lot of people at our school that drink and do drugs, but they see that we are leaders of the school, and they know that, you know, that they shouldn't do that kind of stuff. So I think we're slowly getting better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it's going to be an issue everywhere.
Definitely.
So, I mean, at least we have a club at our school, you know, and just the spreading of the word of being drug and alcohol free. And we're working on making a bigger club and making a bigger group at our school. I mean, it's always going to be there, but we're working to lessen it, you know, even if we can just implant that little seed saying, you know, don't do it, it's bad, you know, it's not just a one-time thing, it could lead to worse problems. So that's pretty much our goal. I mean, we want every kid to be drug and alcohol free, obviously, but I mean, we want to get the word out there and let it know that, I mean, you will still have a good time, and that it's not, I mean, you can have fun just having like a game night instead of having a big party full of it.
So there are young people that don't
right.
drink or use drugs, because, you know, I hear a lot when I'm working with the kids, well, everybody does it or everybody tries it. It's just marijuana.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not everyone does it.
Definitely not. I mean, I have a lot of friends that don't do it. I mean, I probably want to surround myself with those friends so mm-hmm. I don't get pressured. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I know there's a lot of people that don't do it. And I think that saying that everybody does it, that is just so, I mean, that's just an excuse.
In their world, maybe, because they're so narrow-minded about,
right.
in their little circle, maybe everyone does, but that's not representative of the whole world.
Right.
I think and you all are changing that message.
Mm-hmm. I think people that say that everyone does it, I think that they're just saying that to not
justify
feel bad.
It. Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Our last meeting at Teen Power, we had about 100 people there. It was pretty impressive.
My gosh.
I would say
amazing.
More like 200. I mean, we had the cafeteria was pretty full. And So
kids are craving a chance and a place to go be safe, it sounds like.
Yeah.
And we're a fun club. I mean,
oh, for sure.
Yeah, we did the Teen Power chant for the first time in our club, you know, and the kids loved it, and so we're hoping that brings more and stuff. And so, like, I mean, you want to have fun in every club and everything, but you want to have it in a positive way.
Absolutely.
And they just ate it up when we did the chant and everything, and I mean, it was a lot
of fun.
You know,
and I think what you two said early on, kids want to feel good.
Yeah.
And they want it to be fun.
Mm-hmm.
And meaningful.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, how can you not be around the Teen Power culture and feel good?
Yeah.
But how do you take that to everybody? How do you even begin? Do you think even before Teen Power, young people are making up their minds about behaviors and things that they're going to try?
Yeah, especially because I know in Warwick County, we don't have a Teen Power for the middle schools. And so, like, when they're really nervous when they are going into high school. And, you know, I know from our project going to the middle schools and mentoring them, you know, a lot of them are like, is there bullying? Is there drugs and alcohol? And, you know, they're scared and they're wondering, they're like, should I try it? You know, just see if it's my thing. And, you know, I mean, it's scary for them. And
coming into high school is.
Yes. Because they, like, they want to, like, freshman year is like your chance to change who you were in middle school, pretty much.
You mean and your person.
Yeah, who you are.
Your values or.
Well, your, I wouldn't say. I mean, okay. Some do, but.
What do you mean you can change? Like from a bad reputation to a better reputation?
Right, or? Yeah, because I mean, once, I know at our middle schools, it a lot of times it seems like you're stuck with what the kids called you and like those kids. But, you know, in freshman year, they change. They're different. And in high school, it doesn't matter anymore what other people think. And so I think that's why kids feel more free to do stuff. But then eventually it gets around and everyone hears what. You know,
what everybody does.
Yeah.
You have 1,950 students in your school.
Mm-hmm.
So we just know statistically 10% of those are going to have a lot of problems with probably chemicals. So out of 1,900 students, that's 190 at least.
Yeah.
Do you think everyone in the school already knows who those kids are?
I think that. I mean, I know a few, but a lot of people may not know everyone that does it because I think some people try to keep that to themselves. I know that if people don't come up to Brooke and I and say, oh, yeah, I do drugs, because no one's going to go up to the Teen Power people and tell them that.
Right. I mean, you guys have, like, your own reputation.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The teen power culture mm-hmm. there.
And the goody-goodies. And
you're
like,
seen as the goody-goodies?
I think so.
Well, what's wrong with that?
Well, I mean, I think that some people probably consider us the goody-goodies, but then other people look up to us.
Goody-goody for you.
Yeah.
I wish I'd have been a goody-goody. Aunt Jane, were you a goody-goody in high school?
No.
No way. You were athletic.
I was goody-goody for, I mean, I played the part.
Yeah.
On the outside. On the outside. Mm-hmm. Cheerleader and
oh
things.
Yes, we all know that the cheerleaders make very good choices around drugs and alcohol. Is there that too that you think that kids that are like in the sports or in the arts or in the cheer are kids that aren't doing that kind of stuff?
Actually, I think that that's different now. I know that a lot of the sports people do that kind of stuff. They drink and do drugs. And you think that they make good choices, but then, I mean, I'm sure there are a few that do make the good choices, but then there's some that don't.
And yeah.
Well, that's the thing with drugs and alcohol. It crosses, you know, it doesn't just touch the people that look the part. You know, it touches the athletes. It touches the scholars. It touches, you know, the ones that on the exterior it looks like they're the addicts and alcoholics.
Right.
But the truth is, the stereotypic picture of an addict alcoholic isn't necessarily the truth.
It's not what we used to think, that's mm-hmm. for sure.
Yeah, that's definitely true. I mean, there are some people that I'm like, they drink, they do drugs, they don't look like they would.
Right. They're more, we call it in the adult population, functional.
Mm-hmm. And then also I think there's the opposite too. A lot of people are like, oh, they probably drink, mm-hmm. and then they don't. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm known for having fun. Like, I like to be a happy person, and I like to have fun all the time. And people think that the way I have fun is by going off and drinking or doing drugs. And I'm like, no, I'm just a happy person.
They don't want to believe that you're authentically happy without some chemical.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So are young people cruel to each other about that?
I wouldn't say that they're cruel. I mean, word gets around, and then there might be a big rumor saying certain stuff about that person, and then, you know, a lot of times it has to get blown out of proportion until the truth comes out, you know, but, I mean.
Do you think it's important for all 1,950 students in your school to have some type of reputation?
Yeah, I mean, we all have a reputation.
So that's something every teenager wants, some type of reputation.
Right, and then, I mean, it's, you want a good one. You know, we all want a good reputation. But, I mean, we're all human, and that's just how we're programmed. We judge. And that's how we set reputations or thoughts about people, and that's how they stay there.
Yeah.
Whether it's just you or a group of people.
And you were saying going into high school, it's so important. You have one more chance to redeem yourself.
Pretty much.
From middle school to high school, you can change a reputation, if you will.
Mm-hmm. And that's what it seems like. But then once you're older, I mean, you just look back and it's like, wow, it doesn't really matter anymore. You know? Mm-hmm. And you know, just seeing as a senior, you just like, you think all those little problems are so important back in freshman, sophomore year, and you're looking back and it's like, why was I mad? Why did I not like that person? Or, like, it's just like, wow, I got mad over, like, the littlest thing that doesn't even matter now, you know? And I think, like, it's just a stressful leave sometimes, you know, just doing something different. And, I mean, I can understand that, but, I mean,
Well, you said there's just so much pressure in high school.
Right.
Coming at you from every direction.
Mm-hmm. From teachers and parents and then your grades. And you just want to please everybody. But then, it gets time to where you have to think about yourself and, like, look, I need to do what's good for me. And
so it's not the same kind of pressure you had in middle school where kids are bullying and picking at you. Now
right.
The pressure is more, what are you going to do with your life?
Right.
I think there's still that kind of pressure, too. I mean, there's a lot of pressure from your friends, too, mm-hmm. saying that, you know, they want you to do whatever. And there's also other friends that try to get you to drink and try to get you to do drugs. I know I have a few of those friends. And I'm still friends with them, of course, and I just have to make sure they know what my values are.
More importantly, that you know what your values are.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because it is such a powerful pressure.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that people Lisa and I's age, well, Lisa's really involved in your age group as far as mentoring, but most parents, unless you have good relationships, really don't understand how
powerful,
how it's there, and especially with people who don't look the part. You know, my sons are athletes, and you think that they're immune to it, but you know, having really candid conversations with them, you know. He would say, Mom, I can count on one hand the number of guys on my team that don't drink. And you know, that kind of blew me away because I thought that, you know, I don't know how they can play as hard as they do and still be clean. And that's, you know, that was my ignorance. And, you know, I really thought that I had a better idea of it, but it's everywhere. So the kids have to have, they have to be convinced of the choices they want to make.
Yeah.
The pressure is everywhere.
Yeah, you definitely have to be sure of what your values are before you go into high school.
About drugs and alcohol,
yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't even be like, I don't know. You have to know for sure.
Yeah.
That ambivalence is not good.
Yeah. I mean, if you don't know, someone could easily just come up to you and say, hey, do you want to try this? And they could be like, well, I don't know. And then the person could keep pressuring, and eventually they'll give in. I mean,
absolutely. Don't go away, Radio Rehab. We have to take a break. We're 2 minutes over. I'm sorry. Our sponsors need their time right now. We will be right back talking to our teen experts about drugs and alcohol.
Every Wednesday, the Tom Joyner Morning Show grants another Christmas wish.
Please, 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 Mr. Joyner, I keep praying that you see my letter and grant my Christmas wish because I really need it. Tamika, gotcha. Merry Christmas.
The Christmas Wish happens every Wednesday morning on the TJMS.
All you ladies out there, This announcement pertains to you, so listen up. Every 9.5 minutes, someone in the U.S. is infected with HIV. Did you know that HIV/AIDS is the leading cause of death for African-American women ages 25 to 34? Among women living with HIV/AIDS, 64% are black. HIV, the virus that causes AIDS, has no symptoms. Many women and their partners are walking around with the virus as I speak to you this minute and don't even know it. This could be you. To find the nearest testing site and your HIV status, go to www.9.5minutes.org. Respect yourself. Protect yourself. Test yourself. This ad is sponsored by the Vandenberg County Health Department through a grant from the Indiana State Department of Health.
Here's your forecast for 1400 AM, the pump. Getting off to a cool start this Saturday, but it's going to warm up quickly. Plenty of sunshine and a high of 88 degrees. The south-southwest wind at around 7 miles an hour is going to usher in a little more humidity as well. Not a bad evening, though. Under a clear sky, the low is going to drop down to 57 as we start our Sunday, but even hotter. A few more clouds by Sunday afternoon, but it's going to stay dry and a high of 90. I'm Fox 7 meteorologist Ron Rhodes for 1400 AM, the pump.
You're listening to Radio Rehab, the most informative substance abuse program on the airways. Your host is Lisa Seif, who's the director of the Warrick County Court Substance Abuse Program. You can pick up the phone right now and give Lisa a call at 812-424-1400, or if you're outside of Evansville, it's 1-888-846-7867. Radio Rehab. And now, here's Lisa Seif.
Hi, everybody. We're back at Radio Rehab with our teenage experts from the Teen Power Camp and Warrick County, talking to us about teen issues and just good stuff about teenagers. Don't hesitate to call if you have any questions. This discussion is going to continue to roll out. Jane, my friend from recovery, has joined us, who has two boys that are teenagers. So I guess we're all affected by you teenagers. Us poor adults having to deal with adolescence. Anyway, I want to ask you, why... And maybe you've been asked this before, and maybe we need to start talking about the whys when kids are in middle school, but why do you think kids go that route? Why do you think they're off smoking marijuana or taking pills or drinking?
I think it starts off as just wanting to try something new, but I also think people stay with it, or a lot of times they do it with their friends and as in groups, and I think it's just to relieve some stress and pressures and stuff, and just, I mean, they don't know where to turn, and, you know, so they think that's going to help, and I think they just basically just do it as an escape, and, like, sometimes they might feel that they, like, no one cares, and so why should they care if they're doing it or not, so that's why they do it.
I think one of the biggest things is friends. I mean,
yeah,
there's so many people that try to get you to do that, and I think some people just don't know how to say no, and they just go down the wrong path,
and then they're in it before they know it.
Yeah, until it's too late, maybe.
How much education do you think, and at what age do you think that they need to learn those skills as far as having a plan when kids are confronted? How early do you think that, A, that a kid could absorb the message, B, that they could actually implement the message, and C, at what age did you guys get it?
Mm-hmm. Great.
Skills to learn how to deflect when you get confronted, because it's not an if, it's a when you get confronted.
Right. I say that middle school is an appropriate age. Because I remember back in elementary school, about like fifth grade, we did a DARE program.
Right.
I can tell you right now, I don't remember a thing we learned.
And they don't think that's ever going to happen to them in fifth grade.
Anymore. Right. And it's like, okay, this was good time getting out of class, you know. Right. But I don't remember a single thing. I remember the gray t-shirt.
For sure.
Right. But I think middle school, I mean, especially last year, it really opened my eyes how much they appreciate just a positive influence. Because a lot of kids, I mean, we talked to them, and it was like just a big relief, you know, us coming and talking to them. And a lot of them, I mean, just letting them know, like, the reality of high school. Because, I mean, what they see on TV, they're like, does that really happen? You know, is it really that bad? And we're like, no. I mean, as long as you're staying in a good crowd like Teen Power and you have those positive role models and those friends that understand and respect your values, you know, I mean, they understand it. They want to know. And I'd say 7th and 8th grade, you know.
For sure, 7th and 8th.
Yeah, I mean, they're ready to learn,
yeah.
You know, and they'll respect you for it.
I think that nowadays it should be earlier than middle school, because I know that there are kids in elementary that have started drinking.
4%.
I mean, that's
4%
just...
4% of elementary school kids.
Wow.
And they're getting younger and younger. It's crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that I remember some things from D.A.R.E. I remember looking at the pictures of people that have done meth and all that. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, my mom has told me how horrible, like, how drinking affects people when I was really young.
Yeah.
That's why I was so strong about it in junior high.
Did you two's parents talk to you about drugs and alcohol, or is that something you think parents don't talk enough about to their kids?
Well, my parents pretty much laid it out that if I start smoking or drinking, I'm out of the house. And so...
And you believed them?
Yeah. I believed them. And because they said that you can go, like... Because, like, my aunt and uncle, they have a couple kids at that time, and they told me that. And I was like, they have a lot of animals. And I'm like, I don't know. I'd rather just stay with you guys, you know. And it's like, I mean, I want to stay in my own home. I don't want to get kicked out, you know. And, like... I don't know. And now having a job and, like, having to pay for stuff, you know, it's like, I don't have money to pay for cigarettes. I don't have money to pay for alcohol. You know, I could put gas or go buy a pack of gum or something, you know, or, I don't know, go see a movie or something. But, I mean, that's what pretty much kept me out of it. And
so your parents made it a taboo thing.
Yeah.
So it was when you said that, you remember D.A.R.E., do you think that the message coming from someone who you can't relate to has as much impact as if it were another kid when you were in junior high who said, this is what I've done? Because in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous, you go into the rooms and you're full of rooms with people who did exactly what I did. So if you were a junior high kid and another teenager came and said, this is what happened to me, and this is, you know, the choices I made, and this is where it got me, do you think that would have more impact than,
like,
you know, an adult coming and showing you a slide or PowerPoint presentation about all the reasons why you shouldn't? We all know why we shouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the more important question is, what's going on with you that makes you want to start using drugs and alcohol?
I definitely think
that... So young people talking to young people.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely think that if a teenager would have came in and talked, that I would have been sitting there hanging on to every word.
More interesting to you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, that's someone you can relate with.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
If it was an adult, you're just like... I mean, you're sort of paying attention, but if it was a kid that was around your age, you would definitely...
They should go to Tide or to Snowflake, because they have a teen panel of young people that have all made bad choices or making better choices now. But yeah, the teens listen to the teens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we go, Teen Power, we go and talk to the middle schoolers about this kind of stuff.
Sure.
I mean,
is there somebody on your panel that has experienced it? Drugs or alcohol yet and quit?
I'm not sure.
I don't think so.
No.
No, yeah. I don't think so. But I mean,
the Jose's of your, like, Tide is mainly kids that have used.
Mm-hmm.
There's some kids that don't too, but also kids that have just gone down that path and thank God bounced back.
Well, they have to know that there's safety in that and divulging
that.
Right. You know, when you go into rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous, you know that people aren't there just to get a bird's eye view of what AA is like. People are in the rooms of AA because they've been there.
Yeah.
You know, and it's safe to divulge all of your dirty secrets in the rooms of AA. Kids who would speak to other kids have to know it's safe. I mean, I know when our experience was Snowflake, you know, there was kind of that message that it wasn't
get the parents
okay
out of the room.
Yeah. For kids to be honest. And that's where it starts with, is being honest. Because if you do just a random sampling, are kids going to be safe and saying, yeah, I tried and I did this and this and this? Probably not.
Yeah.
Especially at an adult asking them
well,
a question.
Well, they're afraid who's going to hear this.
Sure.
And how's it going to come back and hurt me?
Sure.
Right. And I think a lot of times when kids are in trouble, they don't want to find out how to get help because they don't want to get in trouble.
Sure.
They don't know another route, you know, but I mean, and I think that's why a lot of times when we talk to our friends, you know, but I think mainly they don't, you know, want to say anything is because they're afraid they're going to get in trouble or put in rehab and everything.
They have to tell their parents.
Right.
So they're afraid to go to another adult.
Yeah. And
a lot of fear.
A lot of fear involved.
I think that's why Teen Power Camp is so awesome because, I mean, we get in our family groups and we can share anything. And it's, you know that it's confidential because that's our main rule.
Mm-hmm.
Don't go off and tell other people.
Right. And in just a week's time, you can build such a huge wall of trust with everyone there, you know.
Yeah, isn't that amazing?
It
trust
is.
Comes so quickly when it's real and you know the people are, their heart's in the right place.
And then you know everyone has a story, so why not share yours?
Yeah.
You know, and you know, I mean, it's just an amazing feeling knowing that there's so many others that have a story. At least one or two people is going to have a story just like yours, and you can share it with them. And knowing that they're not going to, like, spread it around or, you know, just lie about it or something, or, you know, they're not going to do that. You know, they respect you and stuff, you know.
That's the safety of anonymity.
Right.
That's, you know, the principle that, that has kept AA
alive. Well, Jamie has shared about her mother at Teen Power being in recovery, and as a result of that, a bunch of kids started saying, yeah, I have it in my family,
my mother, my father, my sister. What is the statistic?
One out of four
have someone
kid is going home to a family member they're concerned has an addiction that they're living with.
And that's a subject that's
one
not
out
okay
four.
To talk about. It's not okay to, it's not, you know.
Not in our family. Yeah,
not
my family.
It's not okay.
That's
so why
right.
would a kid go bragging about that at school unless they knew that somebody else walked that same walk?
Yeah.
That's,
Jamie, what did make you be share back at Teen Power?
Because
besides the fact that your mother is just incredibly awesome, what made you come out with that at the teen panel there?
Well, I mean, I know that there's a lot of people at Teen Power that have alcoholic parents. So I just wanted to reach out to them. And if they, I told them, I'm like, if you are in this situation, please just come and talk to me.
Yeah.
I want to meet someone else that is going through it. And I'm sure you do too.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I did have a few people that came up to me and thanked me. And they told me that they were going through that stuff.
Oh, a lot of the other family groups that came out, that kids are going home to somebody they're very worried about. They may not even be alcoholic, but they're drinking too much, and it's changing who they are, and it's scaring the family. So you coming out of hiding with that really opened it up for other people.
Yeah.
Or mental illness, too. Suicide in a family. These are things kids do not want to talk about in their, if it's in their family.
Yeah.
There's a suicide walk today.
Yeah. I think it's really important to come out and talk about it.
I do too.
Because, I mean, that's how you get help.
Yeah.
That's
well,
how you're...
Sick as the secrets we keep.
Yeah.
You know? And I don't know, Lisa, I'm sure knows the statistic that, you know, like you said, everyone has a story. And we are kind of conditioned in our society that, you know, to make everything look okay on the outside. Nobody really wants to know the dirty truth of it. But you having been raised in an alcoholic home certainly gives you such experience to share with another teen. You know, I've been there and this is what I did. That's the whole...
You'd be neat to get an Alateen group going at your school.
Yeah.
They used to have them in all the schools. Johnny Kincaid here that was is involved in one of the radio stations started Alateen in all the high schools in the early 90s.
That would be really
awesome. Wouldn't
that be cool? Yeah.
You know, I know my kids have a whole different appreciation because, you know, it's like other parts of my life. I mean, it's not a secret. You know, if somebody asks me, I'm going to be honest. And, you know, what is the statistic, Lisa, about how many people we affect. You know, it's not just the alcoholic or addict
that's sick.
It's, I mean,
it's four again. Four other people are deeply affected by somebody's substance abuse.
It wasn't just my disease. You know, my kids were raised in a, you know, they were in an alcoholic home. And, you know, until I got sober, you know, I don't think that was what their conversation was with their friends.
Well, look at you guys. Now your mother's sober, but my God, look how affected you are by your parents' moods without them being heavily drinking or using drugs or depressed. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine what a kid goes through knowing their parent is drinking or drugging or depressed or suicidal?
I mean,
or,
it's not even just the parents. I have other family members that drink, and it that affects me too. I know that... like before my mom started like drinking and stuff, because she was sober for pretty much my whole life up until just a few months ago, and now she's sober again. But before that, I was around my other family members that drank, and I think that's that kind of had to do with how I am now, because I know that how it affect how alcohol affects people, and I don't want to go down that path.
You saw it.
Yeah.
How about you, Brooke? Same thing?
Yeah.
Just left a nasty taste in your mouth, so to speak. That stuff doesn't taste good anyway.
Yeah.
And it really affects, like, affects you because it's people you love.
Yeah.
And it hurts to see them like that.
To see them hurt.
Yeah, and I think a lot of times the ones that are using, they think that it's only hurting them, so why stop, you know? But they really don't see all the others, all the people that care about them and want to help, you know. But you, I mean, it's also hard because a lot of people who want help, and I've, you know, there's been students I've talked with and everything, you know, I've tried to help them. But if you want help, you got to make sure you actually want that. Just not say maybe, you know. You got to, I mean, it's hard to help someone who doesn't help themselves. You know, I mean, if you want to stop drinking, get rid of the alcohol. Go buy some tea or...
Yeah, now there's a good start. If you want to quit drinking, you might want to watch the alcohol.
Yeah.
Don't go away, Radio Rehab. We have got teen experts talking to us about all kinds of issues. We'll be right back. And I want to talk to them about if they think it's different for girls and women in our society. So don't go away.
Now back to the Dr. Bob Deutsch Show.
Hey, everyone. Want to get what you want in life without worrying how much it costs? Well, just use my simple two-step process. Step one, go to McDonald's. Two, get what you want. It's that easy. Even you can do it, Cheryl.
Shirley.
That's the spirit, Cheryl.
It's Shirley.
Yeah.
Get a four-piece chicken McNuggets for only a dollar. Crispy, tender, and juicy. Four chicken McNuggets for just a dollar. Now that deserves a round of applause. Prices and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Now that McDonald's has any size premium roast coffee for just a buck, I love coffee this much. But since you can't see me, I guess that doesn't really mean anything. So let me put it this way. I love a small cup like an astronaut loves to spacewalk. And I love a medium cup like a little girl loves ponies. And I love a large cup like, well, like McMuffin loves egg. And that, my friends, is true love. You know, for a buck. Prices and participation may vary. For a limited time, a la carte only.
Remember when success was measured by a person's hands? Worn in, strong, and fearless. Don't sweat and tears count for anything anymore? They do, and can be found in the all-new 2011 Jeep Grand Cherokee. With available double-stitched leather-trimmed seats, real wood accents, and a hand-stitched leather-wrapped steering wheel, ingenuity meets craftsmanship in the 2011 Jeep Grand Cherokee. Greatness isn't just built, it's earned. Jeep is a registered trademark of Chrysler Group, LLC.
This is Troy Aikman and Hulk Hogan for Rent-A-Center, where you can score big with great deals on brand-name merchandise like LG HD TVs and more, all with no credit needed.
Penalty. Hold him back.
What?
This is exciting, bro. Huge selection. No credit needed. Delivery and service included. And at Rent-A-Center, your satisfaction is guaranteed.
Do you know anything about football?
Three strikes and you're out?
This is a rental purchase transaction. See rentacenter.com for complete details and more information on the worry-free guarantee.
Could switching to Geico really save you 15% or more on car insurance? Do mimes make even less sense when you can't see them?
The mime is stuck inside a giant invisible box. Now he's drawing an imaginary door. And now he's opening his imaginary door. And the imaginary door just shut on his fingers. Now he's doing an imaginary cry.
Switch to GEICO now and you could save hundreds on your car insurance. To get a free rate quote, visit geico.com. Then buy online, over the phone, or at your local office.
I got my flu shot for my boss. I'd do anything for my boss.
I got my flu shot for Mike in accounting. He just doesn't know it yet.
Getting an early flu shot is the best thing you can do to arm yourself for the ones you love. And Walgreens makes it easy. We have the most pharmacists certified to immunize. Walk-ins are welcome, and the shot is available anytime our pharmacy is open. Plus, it's covered by Medicare Part B and many insurance plans. Walgreens, there's a way to stay well. Subject to availability and immunizing healthcare professional on duty. Certain restrictions may apply. See pharmacy for details.
Your child has a fever, and of course you worry. You're a mom. That's your job. But there's no need to worry about which medicine to choose. Fact. Children's Advil brings your child's fever down faster than Children's Tylenol. And Children's Advil keeps that fever down longer. Nothing's proven better on fever, not even Children's Motrin. For relief you can trust, look for Children's Advil in the cough cold aisle now.
Among OTC pain relievers, brands are trademarks of their respective owners based on reducing fever below 100 degrees Fahrenheit.
You're listening to Radio Rehab, the most informative substance abuse program on the airways. Your host is Lisa Seif, who's the director of the Ward County Court Substance Abuse Program. You can pick up the phone right now and give Lisa a call at 812-424-1400. Or if you're outside of Evansville, it's 1-888-846-7867. Radio Rehab. And now, here's Lisa Seif.
Welcome back with our teen experts today that are talking about just the teen world and teen ideas. We got a call in during the break that I want to ask our experts about. We were also going to talk about girls, if they think more, there's more pressure for girls, more demands, more bullying, more of that kind of vulnerability about girls. But the question, that there's two questions. Do you think it's different for girls? The drug and alcohol pressures, and the question that somebody called in with was, what do you think about drug screening and training parents to drug screen? Whoever wants to answer, whichever one.
Okay, I definitely think the pressure is on for the girls because, you know, if they have one of those, like, football boyfriends or one of the, you know, popular boyfriends and everything, they want to, I don't know, they kind of just want to, like, fit the part. I also think we have a lot more pressures, not just the drugs and alcohol, but with our body image. Mm-hmm. You know,
good point, you know, yeah.
Like, I remember in middle school, I had three guys gang up on me in the seventh grade. All three of them, every day, you know, they'd all call me McDonald's or cheeseburger,
no
Big Mac.
Way.
Yeah, it was tough. And
that's because you were so good. You thought they were bullying you.
Oh, yeah.
That's awful.
And,
yeah.
I mean, it was a struggle, but I had that one friend, you know, in eighth grade, you know, they didn't do it anymore, you know. But, like, it's kind of
that
funny.
That makes it scary to even go into a school.
It does, you know, because it's like, oh, my gosh, they're down the hallway, and I have to walk right past them,
aww,
you know. But
did anybody hear them, adults hear them, or
well,
did you report them?
Eventually, at the end of the year, my friend had enough of it, you know, because I was getting really upset over it. And she told the counselor, and, you know, it got settled. But it was kind of funny, though, because, you know, one way I was able to get a break from it was beating them in an arm wrestling competition every morning.
Yes.
You know, because that's what we did before school started. And
you started whooping them in arm wrestling?
Oh, yeah.
Good for you,
yeah.
Brooke.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's a funny story, you know. So that, I mean, that's how I kind of like, oh, yeah, who's boss now? You know. But
so girls have to work doubly hard.
Yeah, just to get respect for that. Because, you know, even the skinny girls, you know, guys will be like, oh, my gosh, you're eating a cheeseburger. You're going to get so fat. Mm-hmm. You know, and girls are like, I'll just take a salad.
So
you
the
know?
Whole body weight thing is big in middle school, isn't it?
Yeah. And then, it's really hard, especially when you're with other skinny girls and stuff. You're going to be like, oh, my gosh, you know, I'm not as, you know, thin as her, or, you know, these pants are a little tight, you know. I mean, it's scary, you know, and they don't know what to do. And, I mean, it's they don't understand that it's their body changing and growing,
right,
you know. And, I mean, it's just hormones are changing and stuff, and they won't realize that until they're older.
Jeez.
But
there's so much for us to talk to kids about, isn't
mm-hmm.
there?
The other thing that she mentioned that made me think was that bullying that is mm-hmm. so toxic.
The bullying.
And can lead kids to something to take away the pain.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Because I know that happened to my son. And, you know, he endured it for a couple of years before he came clean with me and told me what had been happening in junior high. And the teen depression. Mm-hmm. I mean, it absolutely would lend itself mm-hmm. to drinking and using
sure.
to take away the pain.
Numb out.
Absolutely, if they don't have a clear idea of what they're not willing to do.
Yeah. Mm. I mean, it's definitely hard, but
it's really tough for girls too. I mean, we're a lot more emotional than guys.
Yeah.
So we take that stuff to heart.
True. Mm-hmm.
And it really affects us. Guys are just like, oh, da 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 da, you know, I don't care.
Seem to blow it off easier.
Yeah.
Yeah. And girls, we're just like, we have to do something about it. You
and
know?
Of course, like, if another girl says something to us, we're going to say something back. Mm-hmm. And girls can be so mean.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But guys, you know, if someone says something to another guy, they'll just fight about it, and then 5 minutes later, they're going off to get ice cream.
Yeah, I mean, girls, they fight the fire with more fire, and
sure.
guys, they blow it off with a punch or two, and then they're good to go.
Yeah. So what do you, the caller about the drug screen, what's your two's opinion about drug screening in teenagers?
I think that it's a good idea. I mean, mm-hmm. go ahead and do it.
Mm-hmm.
If it'll probably stop a lot of the kids from doing
picking
drugs.
Up the first.
Yeah.
I mean, they'll be afraid.
Yeah, they'll
right.
know, like, oh, if I go home, my mom's going to test me, you know.
So it's a good deterrent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I'd also say if you do that, don't hound the kids. Mm-hmm. Don't I'm going to test you, you know, so you better not do it, you know, because that just makes them want to do it more, you know. I mean, just say your point and then let them make that choice, you know, and if they mess up, you'll find out on test. But definitely, because I know a lot of kids, they get really upset when their parents just, like, tell them over and over and over, and the kids are like, I know, you know. And
so, it's almost enticing.
Yeah,
like
so I mean,
a challenge.
Right, so I mean, just tell us once. We understand you. We
yeah.
hear you. And if we mess up, that's our fault.
So we adults really need to respect that you guys do get it.
Yeah. And then we'll
yeah.
learn once we mess up.
Yeah. And you both know the consequences.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You're kicked out.
Yeah.
What would happen to you if you drank or drug with your parents?
You know, I would probably get in just a lot of trouble. Maybe not kicked out, because they know that once I figure out the consequences, I'm not going to do it again.
Yeah. And, like, my parents, it's more of a threat, you know. But I know they'll help me get past it. I know they'll always be there for me,
absolutely.
You know, when I'm in trouble or
you
something.
You don't want to hurt them. That's
right.
What you two said early on. You don't want to disappoint your parents.
Yeah, it's such
that's
an
big.
Awful feeling.
Yeah. You'd want to move out if you disappoint
them. Yeah, and but I mean, they're not like, oh my gosh, you smoked, you're out of the house.
Right.
They would want to make sure that I'm clean and that, you know, that, I mean, they always tell me if you ever need help, I'm there, you know. And, like, they just want to make sure that I can trust them.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just want to say that I'm not mm-hmm. automatically kicked out.
Right, no. So parents really listen to this message that we need to be
yeah.
there and listen.
Yeah, like that's what kids want. They want to make sure their parents are there. You know, they want to be able to trust them.
Sure.
And I mean, parents, I mean, they don't need to be intimidated by their
right.
kids. You know, because I know we can be intimidating at times. But just say, honey, I love you. Or have a good
way.
Day. That's the smallest thing makes the biggest difference
yeah.
for a lot of us. That's
which
all
one
want.
Of you was saying your parents left you little sticky notes?
I did.
So cool.
Yeah.
Look at her blushing. They make sticky notes and leave them, and you do that a lot, little notes.
Yeah, they'll text me, have a great day, or...
Yeah.
Or when
parents are busy, but a little note can go a long way.
Mm-hmm. Especially when, I remember, like, the second grade, I found the note when I was checking what was in my lunchbox, and Mom was like, oh, you weren't supposed to see that until lunch. And I was like, oh. Well, anyways, that turned out to be one of, like, one of the worst days ever. And I remember lunchtime getting that note, and it just made the whole day better.
So are you ever too old for your parents to be mushy with you and tell you they love you?
Never.
No. I think that's one of the biggest ways to get your kid to talk to you about stuff. I mean, if you want them to tell you stuff, I mean, that's how to do it.
Mm-hmm. You know, Fall Festival is coming up.
My favorite. I'm so excited.
I love Fall Festival. Mm-hmm. We've got a couple more minutes. Do you all have any advice to the parents that are listening about how to handle their kids going off to the Fall Festival?
Just tell them to be careful, make smart choices, and then
give them a curfew.
Yes.
Be sure you're up when they get home.
Yes.
That helps.
Yeah, tell them that you love them and that you'll be there, and that's really all we want. We still want our freedom, and Fall Festival, that's like, you know.
That's big.
Yeah, that's big for us.
That's the Mardi Gras for teenagers, for sure.
So.
You all are awesome, and I know you. Your teen power has shaped you, and you've shaped it. I want to be like you two when I grow up, no doubt. And we have to say, you guys have to just tell Mrs. Skinner how much we miss her today, too, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She is the bloodline of the Castle High School Teen Power Camp. It takes a good adult in that school to lead the forces. Mm-hmm. She has for 20 years.
She's awesome. Great.
She just values all of you for the individual you are. She doesn't try to shape anybody. It's like be yourself.
Yeah. She looks up to us. I mean,
Isn't that great to have adults around like that?
Yep, and she always has a smile on her face. So, you know, you can tell her anything, and then she'll be there and help you with whatever is going wrong. So
you all just need a lot of good adults around.
Same with friends. Same with good people
friends.
Our age.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Have that culture of unconditional support.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Will you all come back?
Yes,
definitely.
And bring some of those other teen power winners with you?
Yeah. Yes, we'll make sure we bring them with us.
You guys are fabulous. Thank you for taking the time and coming.
Well, thanks so much.
For having us.
Yeah, thanks.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Yes, keep passing on your message of being that it's cool to be chemically free.
Yes.
We got to let people know that's a cool thing, too.
You'll have to come to one of our meetings.
Oh, I'd love to. What time? I'll be there tomorrow.
It's Thursday morning.
Thursday morning is at 7:15, and then.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd love to.
All right, we'll call you.
My friend Jane with me.
All right,
we'll straighten y'all
out. Facebook, yeah.
Facebook me.
Yeah.
Yes, and you can also Facebook Radio Rehab.
All right.
Thank you, Tri-State, for listening in today. Have a wonderful day. We've got some great messages from our teenage experts today. Until next week, don't forget to do the next right thing.